All right, it looks like we do have a quorum, so let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. Good evening, and welcome to the May 17th, 2022 City of Bellevue Human Services Commission meeting. My name is Ben Piper, and I'm the chair of the commission. This evening's meeting and future meetings will be held remotely via Zoom in order to comply with the governor's emergency order concerning the Open Meetings Public Meetings Act, which prohibits in-person meetings. This meeting is scheduled to end at 8 p.m. So going on to the agenda here. First, why don't we do the roll call? Vice Chair Amirfies?
Here.
Commissioner Ma?
Here.
Commissioner Mansfield?
Here.
Commissioner Phan?
Here.
And me. So we've got everyone here. Great. I understand there are no minutes to approve this evening.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any written communications?
We have not received any written communications from the public. Okay.
Let's see. Communication from City Council, Community Council, Boards and Commission. I see that Deputy Mayor Neuenhaus is here. Good evening, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Chair Piper. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. The sun is actually out. Not quite as bright as in my background picture, but it is nice to see a little bit of the sun, because if you're anything like me, you're getting very tired of all the rain. I believe the wettest May now on record or something like that. I just wanted to mention two items, and actually they both happened last night. Was the first one I just wanted to briefly mention, if you did not here, is that we are moving forward with our cross-cultural center. Let me clarify that. So we're moving forward with the programming and looking at different places throughout the city in order to have cross-cultural programming. So everything is on the table right now in terms of the programming, be it at City Hall, at a community center, as well as different partnerships that we may want to have that type of programming. But maybe even more importantly, we did give the go-ahead for staff to start to look at partnerships in order to create a permanent structure, standalone cross-cultural center. Again, there, having a private-public partnership is going to be key. And we're also looking at ways, kind of out of the box ways, if you will, to, for example, maybe work with PACE as they're trying to build a performing arts center in Bellevue. Maybe we can use some of that space to have dedicated towards a cross-cultural center. Or for example, because we're looking at the land use code at Wilburton right now, as we look to update that potentially we provide a land use code incentive to have a standalone facility for the cross-cultural center. So we're moving forward on both fronts, and that was unanimous. As the whole council is pretty excited about moving forward on that. Not as quickly as I would like, or probably any of us would like, as we've heard, you know, we've been dealing with this now for about 5 years, and we've heard it loud and clear that the community really wants to get this established. So we're moving as quickly as we can, but very excited that we're moving forward. The other item that I wanted to mention was the somewhat of a change to the meetings of commissions and boards. And Tony or Chrissy might have something else to say about this or add on to it. But basically, we're allowing, we're allowing remote participation for commissions and boards. Now, there are some caveats to it. It is limited to three. You do need to get a prior approval before a meeting, but we wanted to make commissions and boards as accessible as possible. And then especially if, you know, things come up, right? Life, where, you know, you will from time to time need to attend a meeting remotely. Nor did we really want to prohibit, you know, great folks that can't make it every single day, but they can still participate this way. So I think we thread the needle pretty well in terms of then folks being able to participate, again, up to as many as three. A presiding officer, in this case, Chair Piper, would still have to be in person, and the rest would have to be in person. It does allow for more folks to participate that way and provide some flexibility. So we are going to take a look at that within a year's time to make sure that, you know, the policies, you know, are not being abused, or there are other things that unintended consequences that we didn't foresee. But it seems to strike a pretty good balance to ensure that there's some flexibility for folks as well. So I just wanted to provide a quick update there. Happy to answer any questions from anyone if there's anything, either on those two items or anything else. And anything that I've missed, I'm sure Tony will provide some color to shortly after I'm done.
Nope, you've always got it covered, Deputy Mayor. Thank you.
All right, I think, Tim, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering what... Thank you for your update. And when does this take effect, this hybrid model, and when do we are we expected to come in? Is that
good question?
Decided?
Yeah, I was actually trying to look that up before this meeting. And Tony, I'm not sure if you looked at that. When does that start?
We have only been given very broad guidance, so we do plan to send out specifics to you. It's been alluded that the first meeting in June would be the case, but know that we will be conferring with our clerk's office this week and be getting that guidance out to the commission.
Great. Thank you.
Tim, you look like maybe you still have a question.
No, sorry. My screen's up here, so I'm looking. Like,
okay. Okay.
And I'm doing the same, just so everyone knows. I'm looking up here. Great. Thank you very much, Deputy Mayor. Any other communication or updates from community council, boards, and commissions? Okay. One thing I just realized in my roll call, I have an old list, and I think I failed to read out Commissioner Singh's name. I don't see Commissioner Singh here tonight. Do we have any?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. So, all right. Welcome.
And sorry, Chair Piper, if I can just interrupt for one quick second.
Absolutely, please.
To formally welcome Commissioner Singh, the most recent addition to our commission. So, great to see you here, Commissioner.
Thank you.
You bet. Sorry, Chair Piper.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, any staff reports?
Sorry. Yes, I have a couple. I have a couple of reports. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. First, I would like to introduce Asma Ahmed, who is Didi Catalano's FTE replacement. And so we are super excited to have her join us. She and Christy will be splitting the workload of relationships with agencies and supporting the commission along with me. So I'm just wondering if she is able to pop up. Is her?
Yes, I am here. I don't know if you can see
me. There we are. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Nice meeting you all.
So we'll have Asma comes to us from United Way of King County, where she did some really exciting work with community engagement, working with communities of color and some exciting participatory co-designing of funding and programs. And so we're really excited to have her expertise joining us.
Welcome, Asma.
And we'll have, luckily, we're the next meeting, at least some of us will be in person, and so it'll probably be easier to do introductions. I'm really happy to have Asma on board. The second announcement is just a reminder of the invitation from the Teen Link, Youth Link program for their 32nd annual Community Leadership Awards. I know Commissioner Singh has already RSVP'd and will be there, and we know that Commissioner Fawn will be there. Looks like maybe Deputy Mayor will be there as well. So just look I'll resend the invitation so it's at the top of your email list. And if you have time in your schedule on the evening of the 25th, we would love to have you. So those are staff announcements. Tony or Christy, do you have anything?
I just wanted to clarify one item. Thank you, Leslie. So wonderful to hear that you'll be coming, Commissioner Singh, and I'm sure that Commissioner Phan can follow up with you about this, but we are open to having commissioner and board members present some of the awards. And so if that's something that you're interested in, Commissioner Singh, feel free to reach out to myself or to Commissioner Phan or also to YouthLink staff, Patrick Alina. But so glad you're coming. Thank you. And of course, that offer has been extended to our deputy mayor as well, but that was already directly extended to him.
Fantastic. Thank you. Any commissioner reports? Okay. Let's move on to information for the commission. So it looks like the first item is Memo A 2023-24 Human Service Fund Applications Round 2 Options.
Sure, I will take a lead on that. So the context for this agenda item is that since our last meeting, I think there's been a little bit of conversation about the workload that was facing our commission because of the unprecedented number of applications that we received. And so let me go ahead and share PowerPoint. All right, are you able to see the presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so the context is the last funding cycle, we had 100 applications that were qualified to be considered for funding with just over $7 million in requests. For the upcoming funding cycle, we have received, we received 136. One has been, does not qualify, but so far we, 135 do, with the request of over $10 million. And so, we wanted to have the goal of figuring out how to manage the significantly increased workload and uphold the commission's decision-making role in this process. And so the commission is the one who has always made the funding recommendations to the council, and there is no proposal to change that, but we do rounds 1 and 3 are the decision-making rounds, and then round 2 has traditionally been the preliminary round. And so we have one alternative for you to consider, and then during your conversation, you might come up with other ones that you would find appropriate, or you may determine that what we just decided at the last meeting is the best route to go. So just as a reminder, at the last meeting, this is where you basically established that we would need to have weekly meetings, with the exception of the week of Memorial Day. So weekly meetings to get through round 1, and then round 2 being the kind of the most intense time-wise that was required. A typical meeting schedule would be what you see here, which is meeting twice a month, and we tacked on one additional meeting at the end of July just in case it would be needed. So it would be more of the regular cadence of meetings that you are used to. So what will happen differently with the rounds? So alternative scenario, round 1, no changes. The commission would still determine which application should be advanced for further consideration for funding, and that we will be beginning that tonight, and then would continue that the first meeting in June. In round 2, this is where some behind the scenes work on behalf of the commission would happen by human services staff. So between the two commission meetings, staff would utilize the funding priorities that have been established by both the City Council and the Commission to come up with draft preliminary funding recommendations. The commission would then could then use those draft preliminary recommendations as a starting point for their decision-making round three, where they determine, you determine what recommendations you will be making to the council. And so it would not, the decision-making wouldn't change with round three, but you would just utilize, instead of a blank page, you would have some preliminary suggestions that you could work from. And then those dates would start June 23rd and would have the regular cadence. So I will stop sharing my screen so I can see everyone and ask if there are questions. Deputy Mayor, go ahead.
Thank you. Now, first, I just wanted to say I appreciate the fact that some commissioners were concerned about the amount of workload and this. Really appreciate staff taking a look at some potential ways that we can cut down on that workload, because it is a significant increase, the additional number of applications that that did come in this year. So one question I did have was the total number of meetings, and how much have we reduced that by, Leslie? I appreciate your presentation there, but it went by a little bit quick. I didn't get a chance to count all. No, it's totally fine. So are we cutting the number? So it's our regular cadence. So are we cutting the amount of meetings in half then, roughly? Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
Okay. Terrific. So I think that there is some real this is a viable option for us. I mean, I'm comfortable with staff reviewing and making some appropriate recommendations. I want to be crystal clear though that this is still up to the commission. The staff is simply trying to facilitate and in a very how should I say this? In a way, just to help expedite, but yet not make any determinations about valid applications that do come in, just to help speed up the process. But again, I just want to be crystal clear that these decisions are still up to the commission itself. And this is not a staff-driven process. Staff will play an integral role in terms of helping to make those recommendations, just as they make recommendations to the city council, but it's still up to the commission. So I just wanted to reiterate that point, and I appreciate the quick work that staff has made here in order to come up with this suggestion to help cut down on the workload and the obviously the pretty big increase in the number of meetings every week. So, I mean, that's quite a bit, and especially heading into the summer months as well. So I just wanted to make that point there, but would love to hear what the commissioners think of this proposal.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any commissioners have comments or thoughts, feedback on the proposal presented by staff?
Looks like Commissioner Modis.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I think that staff facilitating a starting point in terms of numbers is very helpful. But I am personally still interested in front loading some of these meetings, because when we spread them out, things get lost in terms of like our discussions from the last time. And if we finish early, I don't know, like that might be good. Like, get the discussions in, finish early, and maybe like not have so many meetings on the back end, like instead of like spreading it out. That's a consideration that I might suggest. But I do like the alternative suggestion for having staff facilitate some of the number crunch or the number inputting as a starting point based on the interests that the council and the commission communicate.
Commissioner Ma, may I ask a couple follow-up questions? Just to see at what point in time you'd like to see that. When you're thinking about the break, would you still like to do like our second round one meeting sooner than June 7th, for example? I'm thinking of a couple different places where you might put it closer together. The other option would be to meet July 12th, which would put June 23rd, June 7th, June 12th. You'd be meeting one right after the other during round three, which sounds like might be something you'd want. So I just wanted to hear a little bit more about where you want to see that.
I'm a little bit forgetful of the exact, like, which round is for which week. I was thinking clearing round one, and then, I mean, the bulk of the discussion, I think, is kind of like round three. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it. So I'm just saying, not waiting until the very end, and then, because I want to prevent extra meetings into like late July or anything like that, ideally. But that's just my take, and I'm interested in hearing what other commissioners are interested in. But I do agree with the suggested facilitation of inputting some basic numbers as a starting point.
Thank you, Commissioner Ma. Any other commissioners have feedback or questions or comments?
Since this will be my first time, I'm just going to speak like logistically. I liked the idea that we came up with last meeting about having more meetings because of Commissioner Ma's, what he said, his experience, and how it'd be nicer to have that. And I'm all for that. I am all for that more so if they were continuing virtually, because it's a lot more convenient to meet that many times virtually than it is to do it every week in person. So I know that, like, if we're going back in person, which I'm very thankful for, that might change my mind about meeting so many times in 1 month, because just logistically might not work. And I liked your solution for staff as well.
Okay. I think so. One thing that we do, now that I've had a couple minutes to kind of process this, I'm realizing we do need to have a little bit of space to allow staff time to do these preliminary recommendations. So what I'm thinking about, so to achieve that and to not push into late July, if we do a special meeting next week, as we originally had planned, and do the second part of round one May 24th, we could then push up our work sooner. So that is one option to go. So, and then maybe start June 14th. Let's see, I have to think about this. No, it would be June. Well, I might have to play around this a little bit, but it'll either be Tony, do you want to help me here?
I was just going to say, let's make sure we just hear from all the commissioners before we start talking about dates.
Okay.
I think we've heard two people say they like the alternative suggestion. So maybe we can even separate it into two topics, like the alternative suggestion, and then how's everybody feeling about the meeting schedule and where the meetings land on the calendar? And so then maybe people can kind of orient their thoughts around that.
Okay. Vice Chair Merifies, is your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. So I just need some clarity in terms of the staff recommendations, because the way I look at it, we have to read all the grants, right? All the applications. So if we indeed that's the case, to make our recommendations for funding, then I'm not quite sure where does the staff recommendation help.
It eliminates a round for you. So what you do, so the cadence in the past has been that round two, the commission has made their preliminary, they create their preliminary funding amounts, And then they have a third round where they finalize, move amounts around and get to the actual amount of money that they have available.
Right.
And so, but I'll let maybe another commissioner who's been here for maybe Commissioner Ma, I don't know if you wanted to speak a little bit more to that.
Well, I was here the last time too.
Okay.
So
all
I
right.
am familiar with the process, and that's why I'm asking if indeed we have to read all the applications, then how does the staff recommendation play into that?
So you don't have a blank slate to start with. So instead of having a blank slate and spending several meetings coming up with your preliminary recommendations and then have another round of discussions to finalize those recommendations, you start with a preliminary set that's in place. So, and then you're working from that. So you're working from, Tony, would you like to add?
Sorry.
may I interject really quickly?
Yeah, definitely, Commissioner Ma, go ahead.
So Commissioner Mirfez, I imagine that we would probably extend or develop round one a little bit more so that we can express like the interest we want. Because in round one, we would say like a yes or no to a lot of them. And then round two, we would really like go even further in detail. So I imagine we'd probably combine round one and two a little bit more in depth, but it would take out a little bit of time of trying to put numbers in specifically, but we would just develop more the vision and the interests that the commission has for the programs that we think will match up with what Bellevue needs are. And so I imagine kind of bulking up round one and two kind of a little bit, and then they input stuff, and then doing the round three. That's what I envisioned, at least. I don't know if I communicated that well to everybody.
I was just – thank you, Commissioner Ma. I was just going to acknowledge Commissioner Mirfez. There's kind of two components of the time. There's the time that you all invest even outside of meetings. So no matter what we do with the meeting schedule – you are absolutely correct. There will still be a significant time investment outside of the meetings to read these 135 applications that are 5 to 10 pages a piece. And so that, you are absolutely correct, would not be diminished by this proposal. Acknowledging that at our last meeting, we had concurred that you needed to not only invest all that time, but also we were going to need so many meetings to the calendar. The place we found that we could perhaps help was reducing that meeting load. It will not diminish your time outside of meetings. Excellent point. So we would just be taking one of the rounds of work onto staff to prevent you from needing to meet so often. And the priorities that we would use, I mean, this might be getting a bit into the weeds, but as we've brainstormed this amongst staff, we would be approaching our recommendations at a very much more of a strategy level based on the feedback you've already provided. And so Commissioner Ma, to your point, when you adopted those priorities as a commission, when we've heard feedback from council, so we would be more looking at broad recommendations and an example, I want to be careful what I say here, but for example, we might recommend an allocation of a dollar amount to a service area, and then that you fund everybody at 75% to meet that dollar amount. We would not be going agency by agency to adjust, because we would want to keep staff at very much a strategy level and leave it to the commission to further evaluate if specific tweaks to individual agencies were recommended by the commission, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. Commissioner Mansfield, I see your hand up.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate and understand the staff recommendations. I mean, I think it would be a helpful starting point, but I honestly don't see that it would really save that much time for us, because invariably everyone's going to still have the same discussions. about each agency and each application. There are going to be the same disagreements, the same needing to reason your justifications out. And especially if we cut out a meeting in the front loading part, then I think we're going to end up shortchanging ourselves in the long run and end up having all those extra meetings anyway.
Thank you.
So.
And I think, Commissioner Mansfield, the idea is that you would have those, as to your using your language, of some disagreements and such one time instead of two times.
Right. I just hope that we can actually get through those in the allocated meetings.
Let me just say, right. Yeah. Okay. Here are my, thank you, Ted. Just quickly, my thoughts on this, and I'll just say transparently, I was one of the commissioners who kind of raised some concern when I saw I unfortunately was not able to make the last meeting, but seeing 10 meetings on the calendar this summer, it's just something quite simply I'm not going to be able to do. So that was the concern that I had. I do understand, you know, the reservations about trying to kind of cram all this into the regular cadence. I really do appreciate the work that staff has done in coming up with what I think is a viable alternative. Ted, to your point, I mean, I think that, you know, in the past when this has happened, being time bound kind of, I think, adds a little bit of discipline for us where we have to get through it. And I think in some ways that can be good rather than letting it go on forever and ever. So, I mean, I think if we're able to kind of look at it through that lens, it could be helpful. Say, listen, we have X number of meetings. We have to get through these applications, which means that realistically we have 90 seconds per or whatever it is. And we just kind of take a disciplined approach like that would be my feedback. But again, thank you to staff for coming up with this alternative. Any other thoughts, feedback?
So Chair Piper, if I might summarize what I think I've heard, and then maybe you can determine how you want to move us forward in this conversation. I think that I have heard in general that people are comfortable with this idea of, you know, trying this approach out this time. This by no means means that this has to permanently be how things are approached by the commission. Although we may be on a trend to always have increased demand for human services. So that's something to consider. So I think I've heard that everyone is comfortable with this idea. I think the outstanding thing I'm not clear on is how everybody's feeling about adjusting the meeting schedule moving forward. And so at least I missed that, but perhaps somebody else gained clarity. But that would be my kind of summary of what I have heard.
That's my read as well. I mean, I guess the outstanding question is, well, if we stick with the proposed alternative, in which case we would have the regular cadence, do we want to have those additional meetings as backup as necessary? And if so, I don't know how that works from an open meetings perspective. Is that a consideration? Do we have to announce those meetings several weeks ahead of time?
Two things that got mentioned at the last meeting that maybe we can bring back up here and determine how people are still feeling about them is one, people stressed wanting to know as far in advance about meetings, if I remember correctly, so for planning purposes. And so that's, you know, I'd be interested in hearing how that feels to everybody now. The other option that was discussed, and the commission chose an alternative, but the option that was discussed was holding space to lengthen meetings. Some of our boards and commissions have standing meetings from 6 to 9 rather than 6 to 8. And so that was an option as well. I think there, if I remember, there was some hesitancy because we're all on computers all day long. I'm wondering how people feel about that now that there's the potential to be back in person, and that might help mitigate the fear that we're just going to get backed up and need to add meetings down the row if we planned that, at least in the beginning. So those might be some other added ideas for consideration.
Are there any thoughts from commissioners on, it sounds like this was something that came up at the last meeting in terms of lengthening our allocated time from 6 to 8 to 6 to 9. I know that we've done that in the past, at least in funding cycles that I've been through. It's not my favorite option.
There were concerns, Chair Piper, there were concerns expressed about going beyond 8 o'clock last time.
All right.
Okay. This is Ted. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in there. I'm fine extending the meetings if we can have less meetings, because all these additional meetings really take up the summer. Strikingly take up the summer. And going all the way until the end of July is crazy, to be honest. I'd rather get them done up front and have that extra time in actual sessions rather than adding additional meetings and additional days.
This is Commissioner Ma. I'm okay with extended meetings. I was more in favor of upfront meetings. I understand Commissioner Piper's concerns as well. So if we can have less meetings and extend them, I'm okay with that. I also agree with Commissioner Phan about how it's easier to have more meetings when it's virtual because of the convenience of commuting. So if we were to meet in person, it would make it more difficult to have significantly more difficult to have more meetings as well.
Right.
I'm maybe a little bit more flexible than other commissioners, so I will leave it to Chair Piper and Vice Chair Mirfez to maybe lead how we want to decide.
Okay.
I'm flexible too because it's a lot of learning and I'm reading going through, and I called Leslie today for some questions, so I'm flexible too. More meeting, less meeting, so I have to. But it's good to know about a lot of organizations, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm flexible.
Okay. Should we, just staff, I wanted to ask, is this then something that we can vote on as a commission in terms of accepting steps? Okay. I guess the only other thing I'd like to potentially add on to that, is having some flexibility if we needed to add on, if 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it is. That would be my preference rather than having 10 meetings this summer. I do also recognize that being in person is going to add, it's going to be, I think, more difficult for all of us in terms of commuting, childcare, other considerations. I mean, it's just something to keep in mind as well, which is why I personally would prefer to do fewer meetings, and even if it's a late night, at least it's one. Can we get a motion to approve staff's recommendation for the alternative? Just I've done it in front of me. Exactly what the phrasing is, the alternative meeting schedule.
Motion to approve staff's alternative meeting cycle, but may I make an amendment to at least add one front load meeting, additional meeting, just instead of like having one, because we do have more applications and we went over last time. So the chances are that we'll add meetings is higher. So at least having one front loaded meeting, not keeping the same cadence, but maybe one extra front loaded meeting. An amendment I'd like to make. So motion to vote for the amendment to the motion.
Okay, my rules of order are way off. Do we need to have a specific date for that? What would be your proposed?
Possibly right after we talk about the first round, because we want to talk more before they will go off to the staff allows them to do the strategy. So maybe, I'm proposing that we have one late May, just one, and then regular cadence.
That'd be great. And so your choices will be Tuesday, May 24th, or the Thursday after Labor Day, which would be June 2nd.
Memorial Day, right?
Yes, Memorial Day, yes.
Okay.
So you all can decide which of those you would prefer.
or if you all prefer, right?
Any other?
Just
okay,
as a staff person, I think if we're wanting staff recommendations for the meeting on the 7th, I think it may be challenging for us to have those completed if we don't meet until the 2nd. So just to put that out there.
Okay.
Unless I see you shaking your head, so you might have something additional to add.
So could we say, well, today is May 17th. With today's, we would have the only front-loaded meeting would be May 24th, so a week from tonight. Then the next one in the regular cadence would be June 7th, correct? And that the June 7th meeting is when staff will be presenting the round two. Is that right? Okay. Did everyone get that?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting where we are in the actual motion.
So we're voting for the May 24th meeting to happen. Yes. So, right?
Okay.
Sorry to make things more confusing, but I also heard Commissioner Ma suggest that there would be a little bit more extended conversations with round one to provide more guidance to staff. So I just want to make sure that I was thinking what I had heard was you would want May 24th and June 7th to get all the way through round one because you're going to have more robust conversation. So, but you can let me know if I was wrong about that.
I mean, we can aim to have June 7th to be round two. I did talk about having a more robust conversation, but if we have that extra meeting on the 24th next week, perhaps we can get all through it and communicate our priorities appropriately for staff to do their thing.
Chair Piper, I defer obviously to your leadership, but could I suggest we kind of break this conversation into pieces to gain some better consensus, like perhaps ask for a vote on the staff taking round two and that being a point. Another question I heard is, do we want to have flexibility to extend meetings? And so that being a commission decision, and then perhaps a separate third decision being that we only add one meeting compared to what was agreed on last. So we would only add one meeting out of schedule. And then perhaps there's a fourth conversation around what the date is, but we could also do that offline if we need to, but maybe by breaking them apart, people will be able
Thank
to
you.
Really nail down their input.
Thank you very much. And that helps me a lot too. All right. So why don't we do if we could get a motion first to accept staff's proposal of taking round two of the process. Do we have a proposal for that? Motion for that?
Commissioner Ma, motion to approve staff to take round two.
Is there a second?
Ted Mansfield, second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Okay. Second piece then is about extending meetings, and I guess I would say maybe if we could put some sort of limit on it, maybe saying up to an hour over as necessary. So let me just think out of frame. Is there a motion to authorize the commission to extend regular meetings by 1 hour maximum during the funding cycle?
Tim, motion to approve extending regular meetings by 1 hour if needed.
I seconded.
Although, any discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Hearing no nays, the motion carries. All right. And then the third piece was to add an additional meeting and this additional meeting would be for round one discussion, to continue the round one discussion, proposing this for May 24th, so a week from tonight. Is there a motion to authorize or to approve this additional meeting on May 24th?
Tim Ma, motion to approve an additional meeting next week, May 24th.
And
having the regular
second.
Cadence thereafter.
Ted Mansfield, second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that motion carries as well. All right. Good. So I think we got somewhere there. Okay. The fourth piece, Tony, that you were talking about, I guess we were able to get the date into that motion. So we did it in three. Okay. All right. Anything else on this topic?
I have just a question. Is the May 24th meeting going to be extended by an hour, or is it just going to be the regular 2 hours?
Well, good it is question. Virtual. And then the way you voted on it was as needed. So okay. In the past, that has kind of happened in the meeting. If you were mid-discussion and had set a goal for yourself and weren't able to accomplish, like if we had said, let's try to get through this many applications, and in the meeting you were unable to, then in the moment it was extended, but totally open to the commission's direction if that would be better anticipated in advance.
Perfect.
And just as a note, I would like very much to aim to still finish these meetings by 8 if we can, okay. But just to have that as a safety valve if we need it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think that concludes the first item. The second item is the beginning of round one discussions. Leslie, did you want to kick us off here in terms of what the approach will be? I know we had the application overview, and I was just reading, maybe you can remind everyone kind of how we'll proceed tonight.
Yeah, so the idea will go, you'll go goal by goal, and instead of my understanding was in the past you each program was kind of introduced in round one, and we had decided to instead, I had given you the document that had the little summaries of the programs, so then you could focus on the ones that you had questions about, that you were kind of in a maybe or no. So those programs that you're sure you're going to fund, you would not need to discuss. And so you would, for each goal area, people can, individual commissioners could raise any programs that they had that they wanted to talk about because they thought that perhaps funding would not be appropriate.
And again, just to clarify, in this particular round, we're only talking about applications that will advance or that we have questions about. We're not talking about any of the funding amounts or the requests or anything like that.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
So Leslie, will you be sharing a list on the screen so we can say, does anybody have no's or maybes about this list? And then that will kind of put it in front of everybody for them to be able to identify.
Yes. I'm hoping so. Here we go. Okay. Is everyone seeing this? Would this be a good list to work from? Great. Chair Piper, did you want to walk through these and let me drive, or did you want me to list them off? What would work best for you?
Oh, in terms of going, why don't you go ahead and drive? That's fine. I think that might be easier.
Okay, so I will just, let me see here, so I can try and extend the number of, that you can see at one time. Are there any, I'm hoping we all are seeing the same thing.
Yeah, we're seeing 1 through 10 right now.
Okay, so how about, so go ahead and ask if there's anyone who wants to raise any concerns about 1 through 10.
Yes, and so you're asking specifically, does anyone see a no, or does anybody see a maybe with questions, right? That's what you're asking people to, okay.
So can we ask any commissioners who have any reservations, a no or a maybe about applications 1 through 10? That's displayed now.
So I have a no for number 5, application 5.
So this would be Congregations for the Homeless Outreach.
That's correct.
Okay. Do you want to give a little context or background?
Right. So I read the application and I think they, their beds are full, and I understand the notion of outreach, but I don't think this is a good use of the money for that purpose. And I think they propose 30 more people to outreach to, if I'm correct. I need to look at my notes.
Any questions or comments about this?
So Leslie, when somebody proposes that, would you like to go around the room and hear input from each person? How would you like to proceed once someone raises a no or a maybe?
Good. I would defer to Chair Piper if he has a particular way.
Sure. Why don't we just why don't we open the floor to any commissioners? I mean, we can either go down the line, or why don't it might be more efficient if we have commissioners if there are questions or comments about this, about whether we'd like to have this particular application move forward.
And then I have one other proposal, and you can, because I'm new, if this is not useful, one option we have is for people to raise, like we could take a list of the, like this no, and then people mm-hmm. could go back and read those applications. And when we meet next week, you could then have a definitive conversation. So that would be an option. So we could identify all the ones that are question marks, and then you could have a very focused conversation next week.
I like that idea a lot. I don't want
to. That's a good idea.
I
like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's just flag then application or number 5 there, 1.1.5.
Okay. And then before I move down the row, would anyone else, any other ones people want to flag?
So number 13, application number 13, that's okay. The maybe, the Snoqualmie Valley Shelter Services.
Okay.
And so is number 12, MAPS MCRC.
Okay. And Leslie, can you make it to where we can see 11? Because I think before we were doing 1
yes.
through 10.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And so do you just want to focus on 11 through 15 right now to stay in the same
yes.
goal area? Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I just have lots of questions. when it's a maybe, would you, again, like in this instance, it's Commissioner Merfez or anybody else to raise their questions that we might be able to be helpful with?
Mm. Yes.
So there is, I'm sorry. You want me to tell you why I said maybe?
Yes, please.
Okay. So for application 12, it wasn't clear in terms of if they are indeed going to serve Muslim women. They said it's open to everybody. And then they also stated that they're actually partnering with Sophia's Way in terms of sharing the beds that they have. And the budget was a little bit confusing to me as well. And the number of women they were going to serve was 8 women, and their request for funding was
$132,000. So, Leslie, do we want to provide answers to questions that we know the responses to, or do we want to wait till our next meeting and try to get through all of them?
I'm thinking we need to keep moving.
Okay.
But perhaps between meetings, if Leslie, if you're going to email the commission a list of applications to look at more in depth, then perhaps staff could provide added info for any that they have at that time.
Yeah,
that would be great.
great. Thank you for those comments. Those were helpful thoughts to share. Do you have any for number 13?
Yeah, I thought, you know, they're asking for 43,975. And I thought we are funding enough shelters. Their budget also was a little bit confusing to me. So those were the two primary reasons when I said no.
Commissioner Ma.
I don't know if you want to hear deferring physicians on this on MAPS, MCRC. I said yes for consideration, but I hear Amir Fez, but on 13, I said no instead of a maybe because of the geographical region and the amount of Bellevue residents served, especially because it's farther east than even Issaquah, past Issaquah. So I said no to 13. If it's not appropriate for me because it's already flagged, then I'll just like keep silent on those like double things.
You know what? We're writing down all of the notes, and so we can put that in information, and that actually might be helpful for people as they're looking through this. Commissioner Mansfield.
Yeah, I also said no on 13 because of location and the distance from Bellevue, and that it's only 15 adults that they serve, so the chances that they'd be serving someone from Bellevue would be pretty slim as well.
Commissioner Singh?
So I would also say no to Snoqualmie Valley Shelter Service because of the location. It's not serving Bellevue, and that's it. And I have a different question regarding these applications. So sometimes like CFH and the Friends of Youth, they have three different scenarios, like you can see in this screen. So we have to, if we're giving the same organization the funds, it's divided, or we can, it's always like that. Like Sophia Way, they have three different places. So we are funding separately.
Yeah, so it's a single contract, but you fund each program. So you choose individually whether you want to fund a program. So you'll notice that HopeLink has six applications, and okay. So you don't have a choice of either all or none, but you decide which ones are most are the highest priorities for the community.
Okay.
But you can fund them all. So it just depends what they're offering and the relevance for the community.
Okay,
I'm going to go ahead and bring us down so we're looking at housing stability services, case management, financial, and legal assistance, a section of goal area one, application 16 through 25.
Were there any comments, any that we wanted to either have a no, a hard no, or maybe there were none for me in this particular group that I did not think should advance to the next round?
All right, hearing nothing. We're getting down to there's three more applications in that area, 26, 27, 28. Maybes or noes for those three.
No, not for me.
Okay. All right. The third section of goal area one is for basic needs and food. applications 29 through 38. Any maybes or no's?
I don't have a maybe or a no, but for application 31, I'm just going to announce that I will need to recuse myself from that one.
That is useful.
I might have to do that too, as I volunteer for Backpack Meals for Kids.
Okay, all right. And a lot of it's done through my church, so I just feel like
no, that is helpful. That was actually one of the part of round one was to let us know if there were conflicts of interest, and so I'm making notes here. Anyone have no's or maybes for 29 through 38? Okay, the remainder, we have just a handful more, 39 through 42.
Commissioners, any comments, any no's or maybes for 39 through 42? Now we're moving into goal area two.
Okay, so we have general community support.
The 43 through 53 you're wanting us to look at, Leslie?
Yes, if everyone can see 43 through 53, sorry, thank you.
Okay, sounds like there, any commissioners have no's or maybes on 43 through 53, okay.
I have no on 46.
46. Bellevue College, okay.
Anything you want to highlight about your no?
Parents' education, I think for low-income families, it's really hard to get parents involved. Let me look at my notes specifically for 46 here. So I looked at the outcome also, it didn't make sense because it's increasing the parents' awareness of social and developmental milestones. So that was a little bit, the outcome wasn't resonating with the rest of the application. And it seems that they're asking actually the city of Bellevue for $150,000. For parent education. So, and the budget.
Okay, thank you. We've made that note.
There wasn't any staffing attached to the budget either. The staff cost. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and just to clarify, it wasn't $150,000, it was $50,000 for this particular one, right?
No,
yes.
That's
46.
It's
50,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 50,000, yeah.
All right. I forgot what, I think I was at 53 before, but just want to give a chance. So any from 54?
I do have a no. Oh, sorry.
Yep,
on
go
63,
ahead.
63 was a maybe slash no for me. It's something I do want to read more about, but just from the cursory look, it seemed that attendance unit seemed a little bit sort of outside of the scope of something we would normally fund, sort of more political in nature. So I definitely want to read more about that. Right. And I apologize, I just got access yesterday, so I've not had a chance to go through all the applications.
Okay, anything else?
For number 59, for me, it's a maybe for the parent-child plus. And the reason is that they are funded, the parent-child plus, by the United Way. So that's the reason it was a maybe.
Okay, since I have 55 to 65 on the screen at this moment, I will just ask any more concerns about anything between 55 and 65.
Can we see 54? Because I feel like one group went to 53, and then we maybe, I just want to make sure. They get the moment on the screen, is all.
Thank you. Yeah. Eastside Legal Assistance Program Medical Legal Partnership.
I had a no on that one, and the reason was that it is a partnership, but when you look at the budget, there is no money allocated from the partners. And then also in their outcome, they said housing, pro bono work regarding housing, which they provide in other areas that we are going to fund.
Great. Anything else? All right, I will go on to culturally specific programs, starting with number 66. 66 through 75.
Any no's or maybes from the commission?
This is Tim Ma. I had a no for number 75. Focus was on South King County African American services, which I think is a great service. That if I were to ask a question, it would be, you know, there are, you know, populations of African Americans in the east side as well, lesser than South King County. And But I do believe that it's a lot less served, and they specifically say in their application that they focus on South King County. So that's why it was a no for me on 75. But if I were to ask a question, that's what I would ask them. How do they expect a big gap in the east side that they would fill?
Any other comments? Okay, we're more than halfway there. Making progress.
Yeah.
Go team, go.
76 through 86.
This is Tim Ma. I had a no for number 82. The program was like a It sounded like it was a TV program or some media in Spanish to educate or educate viewers, the Spanish-speaking viewers, for like educational news. It didn't seem like it would be appropriate and it would reach as many people as it just didn't seem like a fit for Bellevue would serve the community in the way it is trying to intend.
So unfortunately, I have a conflict of interest with this particular one.
Anything else for applications 76 through 86?
Oh, I also have for no for 85, Mission Africa. Mainly because it, again, is focused on South King County and not even Renton, like further south than Renton, which Renton borders Bellevue, which you can understand the greater side, but mainly that was the point. Otherwise, it's fine service.
This is Ted. I had a no for the same reason on that one.
Any other comments, no's or maybes from the commission? I just need to say on 89, I think I'm going to need to recuse myself on that one too.
And I need to recuse myself on KSARC, or sorry, 92. My mom was one of the founders of that organization, so.
Any no's here for goal area number 3?
I need to recuse myself for
94. And I am not. Okay. All right, then I'm going to move to goal area 4. This is healthcare related programs 95 through 105.
Any no's or maybe some commission on this?
All right, I'm hearing silence. So how about 106 to 116?
Anyone? Any no's or maybes here?
I had almost gotten to the end of goal area 4, so 117. Okay, I'm going to move Chair Piper to goal area 5, education and employment. 118 to 127.
This is Tim Ma. I had a no for 126. Reason is that business, small business support, even though it could be argued as a livelihood. I feel like servicing a profiting business, I felt like it was not something that we would pursue as for funding from COVID. I don't know if I stated that very well, but
you got cut off a little bit, but I think
I was just stuttering because
it doesn't have to determine the direction of the commission, but during the pandemic, when there was pandemic funding, business support was provided through economic development versus us. So that was a delineation that was made with pandemic dollars, just to share an observation with you that I think might be what Commissioner Ma is speaking to.
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Any other concerns with 118 through 127? Okay, next would be youth services, early learning, child care, employment, education for young adults, 128 through 135.
Any comments, no's, or maybes? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, Chair Piper.
Sounds like none.
Okay.
Would it be helpful, I know we'll send out an email, but in this moment to just kind of read back through the ones that were highlighted, Leslie, for everybody?
Yeah, I'll go back.
Just name them.
Popping up for me. There it is. Okay. All right. So we have for review at this time, number 5, number 12, number 13, number 46, number 54, number 59, number 63, number 75, number 82, number 85, and 126. That is certainly a manageable number to discuss next week. Are there any other ones upon reflection after getting through the list that anyone would like to add?
And Leslie, just wanted to ask, and if this is something that staff can do too, as we're reviewing in the next, I guess the next week, if these come up upon further review, is that something we can email to you just to have flagged for the next meeting? Okay.
Great idea, Chair Piper. Thank you. Yes.
No, not everyone, including myself, has had a chance to go super deep. So it might be good to have that option too.
Yes.
This is Tim Ma.
Sorry, go ahead, Commissioner Ma.
We do have time, and I do have an interest in, like, talking about our priorities and how we would maybe guide staff to do their round two for us when we, since we do have time, talking about these applications. There are some applications where, even though it wasn't really a no or maybe, it deserves attention, especially with overlapping services, I believe, for a lot of these applications, where we need to decide how we want to split funding between all these applications, or, I mean, that's just an example of a topic that probably would be discussed among us that could help staff with round two and probably get more accurate, just kind of starting point.
So, Commissioner Ma, I just want to make sure I understand. So for now, the discussion would be providing some guidance to staff in what specific instances. So you said when there's duplication of services or overlap. I just want to make sure I understand what the question
is. Yeah, I mean, that was – I mean, I'll defer to Chair Piper, but to lead the discussion. But my interest would be to have the discussion that would help staff come to a more accurate representation of what the commission prioritizes to be – because there's definitely still way more applications that than like they just what we said no to does not whittle down enough for them to start plugging in numbers necessarily. And so we do need to have a probably more broader conversation about how we want to, you know, where else we can prioritize to be able to narrow down the applications a little further, or how we would divide the applications. And one example is overlapping services. For example, last time we talked would be financial services to our financial aid for prevention of eviction. You know, there's a lot of services that have that. But that's an example. It doesn't have to be just that. It could be other things. So.
Okay. I think that's a good point. I'm just wondering, in terms of round two, what staff's agreement there is really to put preliminary numbers. So it's not really doing a green light, red light, right? I guess I see that more as on us tonight and then next week in terms of advancing or not advancing applications. But staff in round two, and correct me if I'm not understanding, but I think in round two, what staff will do is put in a preliminary amount, and then we can have our round three discussions based on that. So it's not really going to be staff saying, well, there's a duplication of services here, so this one should not go through. I think that's, is that correct?
Yes, staff would not place a zero on any agency that you have advanced. Correct.
I think one.
So I almost think, Tim, that's a conversation. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, Ben.
I almost think that's a conversation we need to have either tonight or next week in terms of, you know, and I think it's probably more likely going to be next week if we're identifying duplication of services, then maybe we need to say, okay, maybe we don't go forward with one of these. Or if staff, after round two, I think in the past we've done it that way, you know, we would have our round two sort of preliminary allocation, and then in round three we have the conversation saying, hey, you know, I you make a good point. It's like the financial rental assistance. We said, you know, there are so many of these, so let's consolidate and let's, you know, move this over here and move that over there. So I think round one is just that first gate. It doesn't necessarily mean that an application is going to advance to the final, right?
Looks like Commissioner Amerifis, did you?
Yes, I just had a question. So previously, I think the meeting before actually was during the training that we talked about if an agency was funded at any level, it doesn't mean that we need to fund it this round. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. We talked about starting from a blank sheet for everyone.
Right. Yeah. For everyone, including the housing shelter, right?
No, that's
something that we don't touch.
The emergency shelters are being treated differently because of the priority of the life-saving shelter and priority of the city.
Even if it's a new program?
The main 24/7 shelters, a good clarification, Commissioner Merfez.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in new coming in, correct, but the language we are following is that that's the critical infrastructure we have built, we would want to maintain. But yes, good clarification on new application. Yes.
Right. For example, the outreach, right? If we deem that not to be
separate.
Necessary, then okay.
Yes,
thank
that
you.
Would be separate. Yeah, thank you.
I just was going to say a follow-up to what Commissioner Ma was saying is what I was hearing, and I might have been hearing this wrong, Commissioner Ma, so please correct me, but was really I heard him kind of talking about some preliminary amounts for different areas, like maybe setting aside like some direction for staff. Is that what you were talking about? So saying like financial assistance, we want to put this much money, and then that kind of gives staff some direction, as Tony's example of we put $500,000 for financial assistance, and then we divide it evenly among the applications. Was that what you were saying, Commissioner Marr, or would I misunderstand that?
Yeah, that's a great example of what I was saying. I feel like it's premature to, we have 30 minutes left in the meeting before 8 o'clock, and I feel like it's premature to end it and just wait until next week to have these discussions when we can, especially if we're trying to, like, you know, decrease the amount of discussions or meetings that we have. So I wanted to take the opportunity to get some of our discussions forward, bring them up to the surface, and also, like I said, guide staff for round two, because this will help us in future rounds as well to be able to shape our priorities a little bit more concretely. I know it's very abstract right now when we don't have many of us don't have like a deep run through of all the applications yet, but my interest was being able to spend some time on that. That's all. But yes. So yes, Christy.
So could it be safe to assume that one of your priorities, just by listening, is that you tend to focus more on organizations that have more that serve Bellevue residents than outside of Bellevue, right? Just based on what people were saying no to. Right? Is that kind of what you're talking about? Like what kind of discussions we should have?
I mean, that could be a discussion. Me personally, no, that I did not. I definitely prioritize serving Bellevue residents to some extent. Like I definitely is something I look at when I look at applications, but that's not necessarily the thing that is the most concerning to me.
Sorry. I meant you as a general, not you specifically. but some of the things that were one of the reasons why there wasn't very many Bellevue residents served. And so if that's like a priority that the commission feels is important, then a conversation should be had about that. Yeah.
I would clarify, and part of me, if you already know this, Commissioner Fan, I just know that this is a newer process for you, but
yeah. We
only fund services to Bellevue residents. The only time we don't try to draw that delineating factor is amongst shelter, recognizing that to try to point to a city of origin for someone that's currently unhoused is problematic on a lot of levels. And so if an agency didn't serve any Bellevue residents, we actually would not be able to fund them. But I think maybe you're looking at the nuance of if they only serve a couple Bellevue residents compared to a more significant number. Yeah. Commissioner Ma, I was just going to say, could I just suggest you introduce a topic that you would like to discuss?
Yeah, I was actually going to suggest something because I felt like maybe my interest was a little bit too broad to be put into practice. So what I would suggest then is going through the list again and giving even hard yeses to applications that we would like, because even that will give more insight into our priorities. So if any commissioners have like super hard yeses for applications, that would be a starting point for better shaping our priorities, I guess, and to help staff with round two kind of like putting.
We can absolutely do that, Commissioner Ma, but for round two, staff is not going to, so a hard yes, unless it's a hard no, staff is going to recommend an allocation to them. The only one staff would not place an allocation for is once the commission has directed to be a no that we determine at the next meeting. And we don't anticipate making individual level recommendations because we do not want to put staff in the position of making those recommendations. And so if this is helpful, by all means, let's do this. I'm not sure that it would make an impact for the round two. It might be helpful to you all for round three, though, which so it could be helpful by all means.
Yeah, I didn't assume that it would be something that you would change round two for in terms of like the overall thing, but
sure.
For our commission as a whole, I do think that there is
benefit. Yeah.
Benefit to that, but if other people have other ideas, we have 30 minutes, so by all means.
I mean, I guess my thought on this is I would just want to understand what we hope to gain out of this exercise. I mean, clearly, as Tony said, for round two, I don't think there's necessarily it's going to have a lot of impact. Potentially for round three, I'll just speak for myself in that I don't. There are some of these where I might have strong feelings of a hard yes, but there are a lot of them where I just need to go deeper into these applications. So I would almost see that as the second phase of round one of next week's meeting, going through this again in greater detail. I mean, I don't object to doing it now. I just want to make sure that we're, you know, whether we understand what we hope to get, what output we're trying to get out of this.
What I was hearing potentially from Commissioner Ma too was not just might with the kind of hard yeses might flesh out like higher priority levels that might be useful. And I don't know, Commissioner Ma, if that was your intention or not, but that's what I was thinking might be useful from that exercise.
Yes, I mean, my intention is to be able to utilize the time that we have now to be able to narrow down a little bit more for us so that we save time in future meetings. And that was one idea that I thought of, but I'm not opposed to tabling that and maybe doing something different. But I felt that was a good place to start potentially.
Instead, I think that's a great idea. I think it's a little bit hard to get into those a little bit higher level discussions without being able to discuss them all on an equal footing, since we'd only have so much time for right now. And a lot of us haven't had the chance to get into them any more deeply than reading the summaries. So I think it might be a little bit difficult discussion to have right now. But next week, definitely.
I agree with that.
If I might, in the interest of hearing Commissioner Ma's wishes, I think a topic that I have heard Commissioner Ma participate in a conversation with the commission, so that's several of you as well, in the past was how to allocate funding for emergency financial assistance. That's a very concrete topic. It does not have to be agency specific that we would talk about right now. And it might be useful to just use this time for the commission to evaluate whether it informs round two or three. It's just a topic the commission has not come to agreement on necessarily. Commissioner Ma, is that a topic that you would perhaps like to use this time for?
Yeah, anything to just kind of have a broader discussion to be able to report. Like, I'm open to that too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Chair Piper. I was going to say one thing we had discussed at a previous meeting that I might just throw out as a reminder was that you all were going to be thinking as well when we think about council and commission priorities leading into receiving the applications. Were there any of those high priority areas that were not represented in these applications? And so we had talked about the possibility of the need to set aside some funds for a separate RFP if those priorities weren't met. So that would just throw that out there as something just to be thinking about over the next week as well as a possibility.
Thank you. And that's certainly something we've talked about in the past as well, but I think that's a great point. Something else that I would love to talk about, if time permits tonight, is the scorecard or rubric. And if there was any conversation that I missed in the last meeting about how we plan to proceed with that. I mean, I'll just say I do have, frankly, some reservations about using a rubric. In my 5 years in the commission, we've never used one. It's been much more sort of discussion-based. I personally have reservations about it. I almost think we could use software, and just have that do it if that's the case, and it kind of obviates the need for human beings sitting here and talking. So do we have strong opinions? Has there been any discussion about to what extent we're going to rely on the scorecard or rubric, how we plan to use that? Is it something that we're required to use?
No, the discussion, Chair Piper, had been utilizing that as maybe raising up some questions, but not as a everyone turn in their scores and we average them out. But it was really more of like a tool in your toolbox to and just kind of returning to that rubric to kind of help with that equity lens guide. Is that a fair recounting?
Yeah, it wasn't determinative. It was informative.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. It's different seeing it in an email and then hearing people talk about it. So, thank you very much. So it sounds like there were a couple of other topics. One that we were going to talk about, I guess, Commissioner Ma, was in terms of the emergency financial funding. Do we kind of want to have a just an open discussion of that, of how that it's been a priority for us in the past? Do we want to maybe spend a couple of minutes discussing that? Commissioner's thoughts on what sort of emphasis we should be placing on that service?
Yeah, I mean, I can start. I guess it's last time we did prioritize that a little bit, and we discussed how we would divvy that up. You know, there were some agencies that we chose not to fund because we said that we would fund another agency a little bit more, you know, instead of spreading it out. And you know, the agency did come to us and say, hey, you know, we serve a population, and it's important that we get this funding. And the climate is different now through the pandemic as well. And I don't know how much the financial assistance can keep up with everything else that is going on. So I would bring up the topic, should we consider even prioritizing this at the same level as we did last time? And that's a question I would raise to the commission.
Instead, I understand the importance of emergency funding. It gets people out of a situation immediately. But I tend to place more emphasis on the organizations that go to the root cause of what happened to get them to that emergency in the first place. So, I mean, that's a tough juggling act to play. But I would, if we're doing emergency funding, like I said, I see the importance for it. I'd like to see agencies that also help educate a little bit more rather than just handing out gift cards or something like that. But anyway, that's just my thought on it. Immediately.
And I guess my thought there, and again, it's a conversation we had 2 years ago, would be to try to focus on, and I think what we found last time is it's not one agency that someone in this position finds themselves going to. They're going to multiple agencies trying to kind of pony together enough to keep from getting evicted. So to the extent that we can find agencies that can provide a one-stop shop, something that's sort of end-to-end, that would be my preference, rather than having these ad hoc kind of things, because that just, I think also from a client perspective, it just makes it much difficult for them, right? If you're driving all over town or riding a bus all over town trying to, again, scrape together funds to the extent that we can find one-stop shop types of agencies. I think that's something that I would want to prioritize. Something else, Ted, to your Commissioner Mansfield, to your point, again, something, this is my, in the past two funding cycles, it's something that's come up, and I think we always kind of end up saying it, but then it doesn't really happen. I'd love to focus too on you know, goal areas 4 and 5. I think sometimes think that we spend a lot of time, and with good reason, on 1 and 2, and then 3, 4, and 5 kind of become a little bit of, not an afterthought, but it's kind of late in the game, and we're kind of filling in those cells. So I don't know. I think in the past we've tried flipping up the order. I don't know whether we do that, but let's, I think, try to be mindful of that, you know, as we approach it, of giving equal consideration to all the goal areas.
Commissioner Amir Fez has her hand raised.
Oh. Thank you, Leslie. So I just want to channel former Commissioner Mercer, reminding us that there are some agencies that have multiple applications for substantial amount of money. So to pay attention to that, because if we fund one organization, then we will have less funding for others who may also provide valuable services to our communities. So just one thing that I like to keep in mind, because I do see several applications from one applicant, and that raises some questions for me. Thank you.
Any other thoughts?
Well, I understand the trying to shift focus to more goal areas 4 and 5. I do want to just put the reminder is that we are not out of this pandemic. And so food insecurity and things like that are still extremely prevalent. Like we see that in the needs assessment. And so not to discount the emergency funds that might be needed for things like vouchers and things, because sometimes agencies can't give out food, but they can give out the gift cards and the vouchers that will give food. So I just want to make sure that's said.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
You have a question that I would ask staff to actually maybe ask the general organizations that are giving financial emergency services, because some tenants are backlogged in terms of rent for so long because there's a moratorium, that does this financial emergency services even begin to cover some of these like backlog of rents and things like that? Because if it, you know, if it doesn't as much, then it's, where is it better to put the money somewhere else? I mean, these are questions I don't really have. I'm not trying to give a definitive answer. I'm posing thoughts here, but I'm not saying it's not important to have these. I do think it's important, prevention, you know, financial emergency services, but the state of where some of the people in need are, you know, how helpful can it be? And so that was that'd be a question. Did I summarize that question enough that you could ask organizations to see, like, what are the stats?
We could, but I'd also like to provide maybe just, if it's all right, just to talk about the ARPA contracts that we have right now to get at that very issue, that our regular financial assistance providers might have signed up for the ARPA program, but that program where we're getting, I don't know, around $7 million, close to $7 million out into the community is focusing on those families and households that do have months back and need a few months forward. And so those larger amounts are getting served by those ARPA dollars, and that program will be extending into through the summer. And so, and that's what that the King County program did as well, was to focus on those larger sums of money. So we're talking 20,000, 30,000, even more than that, going to a single household to address those, that very issue. Christy, do you want to add anything to that?
I think the one thing that just is important for us to remember is we're thinking about funding for 2023, which is 7 months from now. And so if we don't know kind of what the community is going to be like, I know that the needs update really highlighted the how the pandemic has removed the safety net for households in our community. And so one crisis does tend to make them plummet into possibly homelessness or more housing insecurity. So that is one of the things that was highlighted. And that there is both ARPA and 1590 rental assistance out in the community now, with the hope that we will be able to address some of the households with needs. But I think that we don't know what the need is going to be in 2023. And that's the thing we were challenged with when we did our funding recommendations at the beginning of the pandemic. And I think we all thought by now it would be over, and it's still kind of that uncertain. But I think it is realizing it is in 2023. We are starting to return a little bit more back to normal, and there is more doors opening, but.
I think another observation that we've shared here before and that came out through the data was that there were communities that were and still are disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, and those would be our residents with disabilities and our many communities of color. And so if you pair that impact on household income, potentially backlogged rent, along with these skyrocketing rent prices, if assistance is not available to help those households maintain their housing, it results in a pretty high likelihood of those households needing to leave Bellevue. And so that could translate into our most vulnerable communities in the pandemic, those being individuals with disabilities and some communities of color needing to leave Bellevue.
Thank you for the info.
Any other topics, any other thoughts from the commission? So just to recap in terms of the plan then for next week, we'll plan to have a meeting a week from tonight, second part of round one. Leslie, you'll be sending out the however many, 10 or 15 no's or maybes for us to review at a deeper level. And then will the idea be that we'll kind of start from the top again and go through a second round, correct?
Yes. What I heard was an interest, in being able to have a little bit more time to be able to surface additional, and that if people have surfaced those before the 24th, to let me know as soon as you have identified additional programs and I can get the word out to the commission so more folks have an opportunity to read those applications closely as well. We've also made a list of questions that were asked. We'll work on trying to see if we can turn around answers to those questions before the next meeting, so we can bring additional information about those applications where there were questions.
Thank you.
My other request before our next meeting, and we can follow up with this in the email, I have not staffed this with anybody in the human services team, but is just if you have directions for staffing or for funding recommendations for staff, knowing that this is kind of a new approach, we've never taken this, of like for instance, Tim's comment of maybe we don't focus as much on the prevention piece of it. So if there is any direction for staff as we take on this new opportunity of coming up with some recommendations.
Thank you.
I would value that. I would also say it'd be good to hear though what the consensus of the commission is on some of those topics. you all have valuable opinions, but if we're going, we would be forming our recommendations based on the consensus that we've heard from you on some previous topics and the consensus that we've heard from the council. And so, yes, absolutely, please share your input with us. And it might lead us to know to bring a topic back to Chair Piper to discuss in a future meeting, but we would need to take our direction from commission consensus.
And I think, Christy, what you're hoping is that if people raise that and it could be discussed at next week's meeting, then that would be consensus that we would have moving forward.
Okay. So I think that should conclude the discussion for tonight on round one. Any old business to bring up? Any new business? Okay. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. This is Samira on my face.
Okay. And a second?
Tim, a second.
All right, we are adjourned. See everyone next Tuesday.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.